cool cats and kittens. I'm Pam, and you're listening to the Detail Solutions Podcast with Alex Russell.
Doing good. So welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. I know who you are, but I don't know if everybody else does. So how about, who are you and where are you from and what do you do?
Hey, I'm Chris Kennedy. I'm from Scotland in the UK, and I own Mint Detailing, and I'm also the distributor for SB3 UK in Ireland.
Nice. So how, where, when did you get into detailing?
I was about 15, and I started working in a sales garage. Uh-huh. And just thought that it was not done the right way from the get-go. And so taught myself different tricks, tips, bits and pieces to make things easier, but better.
Nice. So 15, you're how old now? How long have you been doing it?
I'm 35.
Okay, so 20 years?
20 years.
Nice.
Still learning.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. Okay, so we've had to postpone this a couple of times because you've been moving into a bigger shop, right?
Yeah.
So why the move? Is that something that was kind of needed or just needed to change or go bigger, go better?
It was needed.
Needed?
It was needed, yeah. Workload and also with the year that we've had, there's three of us now teamed up. We're still separate entities, but we're all part of the same team.
Gotcha.
So we've got a wrapper tinter and two detailers working all under one roof now.
Oh, wow.
I know they work differently in the States where you would have staff.
Yeah.
In the UK, we tend to be lone wolves.
Gotcha.
We don't work for each other, we work with each other.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's good that we're able to bounce off one another.
Right.
Help one another.
You know, that's actually a pretty good idea that you say that, because again, here in the States, most of the time you get somebody who works for you, right? You get an employee. And I've had people even, question me, I was talking with a lady today and I told her, unfortunately I'm 3 weeks out, and she's like, well, why don't you get somebody to work for you? Right. And a lot of it comes down to, I hear from most of the guys here, that you get an employee, you train them to be able to do the work quality that you do, but then they go, well, shit, now I know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy enough. I'm going to go step over here and do my, and then you're kind of stuck out. So what you're saying, where you guys don't work for each other, but work with each other, is kind of a good thing, I would guess, because then it's not a boss employee. It's just two guys helping each other out, splitting it or sharing it in an equal kind of way. Is that how you're doing it?
That's how we're doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
It works differently over here with our tax system and our insurances and stuff like that.
Right.
And never any disrespect to anybody who's employed, but they are more protected than the employer in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a relatively large company, but I can't afford to be training people up for them to move on.
Right, exactly. You know? So with you and the other guy, so you have Mint Detailing, is does he have his own detailing company? And then is it just where, hey, Chris, I need some help over here, or hey, I need some help over here kind of deal? Or how do you guys?
We've actually been doing it for years, unofficially.
Okay. Right.
But now we're in the same premises, it's a case of, I'm an hour behind on this car, you finish that car, can you jump over here and just give me a quick help out? And it's vice versa. Everybody just helps each other.
Right. No, that's awesome. I like that idea. I mean, I've got some friends here who I've gone and helped them out. You know, they'll call me up and say, hey, you know, are you doing something this day? I've got something big I need some help with. And, you know, I'm like, no, I'll come help you out. You know, I mean, money's right and everything. I mean, Alex don't work for free, but, you know, that's pretty cool that you do that instead of do it that way versus having employees. I like that idea, man.
I've had employees in the past, but they've just moved on.
right, exactly. And that's a problem. And then you're like, got a bunch of shit scheduled, an employee show up or moves on.
You can reach out with an employee and they decide, I'm not coming in today.
Right.
Or the next day. And then you're 4 weeks behind. So, yeah.
No, definitely. I like that. So I saw you post the other day, I guess it was a while back because I remembered seeing it, but I couldn't remember it when I was coming up with questions and I had to scroll through your Facebook to find it. But, you're technical trainer for AutoBead.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for you and how does that affect your business? I mean, what's AutoBead like? Maybe if you can compare it to maybe something we have here in the States as far as.
AutoBead is a UK-based manufacturer.
Okay.
As opposed to my SB3, which is an American-based.
Gotcha.
I'm regional trainer for Scotland, which means if people need products, if they want any technical assistance, any training, I'm the first port of call rather than the head office, which is based in England.
Oh, nice.
It makes it more local for them.
Right.
The people around me, I mean. And sometimes things get lost in translation, right? You're an American, I'm Scottish. Some things we say can be different, but mean the same thing.
Right.
So it's good to have somebody who has the local jargon or lingo.
Right.
To explain it. I mean, yous in the States talk about one steps. We don't talk about one steps in the UK.
Right.
I do because I work for an American company, but when I'm translating that to UK-based guys, I call it something else. So, yeah, it just...
I gotcha.
AutoBead are wanting to grow. They asked me if I would help out. Yeah, I'll help out.
Nice. So they came to you. It wasn't something that you went and applied for or whatever?
I have never actively sought out anything in my life. and that's not being big-headed or anything like that. I just seem to... You know me, I'm quite cheeky.
Yeah.
But quite sarcastic. But if you ask me a technical question, I will give you an honest, straightforward black and white answer.
No, that's awesome.
So I think that's where they approached me. They asked me a few questions, and I told them exactly what I thought.
So have you, like, worked with them before, or is it just something that they kind of know who you were and they're trying to grow, so they reached out to you?
I've used the products before. Okay. When they first came out about 5 years ago. But they themselves have had, I don't want to say a rebrand, they've rethought their business model.
Okay. Kind of like a restructure?
Restructure, yeah.
Okay.
A restructure. And they want more involvement from detailers at the professional level rather than them running the show.
Gotcha. That's kind of like, I mean, I don't know how it's happening or what it's happening, but I know I've seen Kilmer has done some stuff with Turtle Wax now, because Turtle Wax is trying to come out with a professional detail line, and they're trying to, I guess, get some professional detailers to back it or use it or whatever. So maybe kind of a similar kind of deal where they're trying to.
I wouldn't say that they're trying to get me to back it. I've used it and I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
And I never ever back anything that I personally
haven't used.
Didn't use myself.
Yeah.
So be it Turtle Wax, be it Autobead, be it any number of companies, if I believe in it, I will back it.
Right. I gotcha. So how did you get into SB3 and becoming the distributor over there and whatnot?
I was the first person in the UK that kind of spoke to Barry and Scott about SB3 a few years back. I think it was actually Byron Seeley that I spoke to initially.
Okay.
Maybe about two and a half, three years ago, maybe longer. And I just kind of started using it personally, and then was asked if I want to sort of become the distributor for the UK and Ireland.
Nice.
I wasn't actually asked if I would be the distributor for Ireland. I just kind of took that, but they're quite happy with me taking that. So,
right.
And then it's just grown from there.
That's cool. Are there a lot of guys over there using SB3?
I think we've got, last count, 39 installers.
Nice.
For a land area the same size as Florida.
Right.
That's quite a lot of people.
Yeah. Because I know, I mean, I don't know how many. I've got a buddy who's close by who uses SB3, so that's why I haven't used it. He jumped on it before I did, and he's got the full line. Tony Kamali, you probably know him. He's in all the groups. He jumped on it before. I want to say he jumped on it somewhat early on, before it kind of got kind of big.
Roughly the same time as me, because yeah. I've spoken to Tony for a few years now, and we do bounce ideas off one another.
Yeah. So I kind of just was like, because he's like 10 minutes from me. I mean, I think we're like 5 miles, 6 miles away. So I was like, I'm not going to worry about it. But he loves it. It's great for him. And I know it's a good product. And I've spoken with Barry a few times. Barry's a great guy. So I don't know, maybe somewhere down the line. So we talked the other day. I mean, you're in shutdown number 3, is it now?
I've lost count. I think it's shutdown number 3, but it might be 4, depending on how you look at it.
So how has that affected your business? Because, I mean, over here, you know, I mean, we're kind of, I guess, state by state. I mean, thankfully, I'm in Florida. We've got a governor that believes in keeping the economy going. So we're, for the most part, you know, every place is opened up, and everybody kind of, which doesn't really affect me, but everybody kind of, I guess, self-limits as far as how many people can be in a place or things like that. But with you guys in a shutdown, are you like full on can't leave the house, or is it, you know, are you considering yourself essential and you're going to work anyways, or how's that working for you?
The lines are very blurred. However, I spoke to my local politician, my local trading standards, who basically make the rules.
Right.
And there was somebody else I spoke to, the local councillor, which is just below the local politician.
Okay.
As long as we do not break the rules with regards to social distancing, too many customers in at one time. We're not allowed to do any interior work at present.
Okay.
Don't know how that works, but that's what we've been told. As long as we follow the rules and regulations,
you're
allowed to stay open. With regards to the three of us being in the building at one time, we're classed as the same bubble. Okay. We still need to maintain social distancing, disinfect everything regularly. It's a little bit more expensive because we're having to change more rubber gloves often, right. Change face masks as often. But all in all, it's not really going to affect our business this time. With the first lockdown, which was a complete shutdown, it did.
Right.
But our economy's now seeing what happened, basically, back in March.
Right.
So as long as you're not doing anything silly, we can stay open.
Well, that's good, at least, you know, so that your guys aren't just dying over there, so to speak.
You were saying that, like, it was your state. We don't have states. We have
shires,
council areas, which are like municipal areas. Each municipal area has different rules.
Right, right. And that's kind of the same here. So, like, even in the state, we have counties inside the state. And then so each mayor of the county makes up their own rules. So where I'm at in my county, we're kind of, you know, I mean, really, other than everybody wearing masks, you wouldn't notice a change. But then, like, the next county over where Disney World is, that mayor is still limiting bars. They're actually fining bars if there's too many people in there and they're not wearing masks, or nightclubs kind of deal. So yeah, it depends on, even inside the state, it depends on where you are in your county and how the mayor deals with that kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is you guys have a brand new strain over there of COVID. What are you guys doing, man?
Listen, I stop watching the news. I just go with whatever the government website tells me to do on any given day. I have no idea.
I saw some guy that is a zombie movie lover, and he was talking about how it seems like all zombie movies start with a virus, but they all seem to come out of the UK. So I don't know if you guys
have seen World. Have you seen World War Z with Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
The opening scene of that was filmed in Glasgow.
Yeah.
So even the films have it right. All starts with us.
Right. So whatever you guys are doing over there, can you keep it to yourselves, please?
But we like to share.
Yeah. No thanks. We're good. All right, so back to detailing. We'll stop talking about COVID. So you kind of I don't know if going viral might be the term, but I've seen more people talk about it lately than before. So you made a couple of videos this past week or so where you just destroyed some pads and a test hood. So what was the reasoning behind that? What was the purpose for that?
The purpose initially was, I was training a couple of guys, and they said, you're talking about panel temperatures and the way that the paint reacts to what you're doing when you're correcting it. What if you just left it in one spot for, say, 10, 15 seconds? So I did. And I got them to film it. But the purpose of it really is to stop the fear factor, especially with rotaries. As long as you're, I mean, everybody could see from the video that I was using my full body weight.
Yeah.
On top of it, using incorrect pressure, incorrect technique, and that's ultimately what's going to happen if you do it wrong. But to teach somebody, you need to show them how to do it wrong just as importantly as doing it correctly.
Yeah.
It was also just a bit of fun. Because I'm very, very rotary orientated, and in recent years, there's this myth surrounding the rotary that it burns paint.
Right.
Yeah, it burns paint, and I've showed you it burns paint, but not if you do it correctly.
Right. Right. And that's kind of the thing. I mean, I think a lot of people think that, you know, the DAs are, I mean, and they are, for the most part, they are safer than a rotary for burning paint. But again, if you're not doing it right, you still burn paint, which you proved.
Yeah. Yeah. I may actually do it this week, burning paint with a DA, because it's entirely possible.
Yeah.
It'll just maybe take an extra 30 seconds.
Right.
But there's not, I'm not a master of anything. The way that I look at it, I can only show you what I've been taught in the long run and safer ways to do things. At the end of the day, taking any machine to paint and introducing any amount of abrasion or heat can cause damage.
Oh yeah, for sure. So you did that. You did that with a rotary then? That wasn't a DA. Yeah. That was rotary. Okay, and you did rotary. It foam. You did a foam pad, and then somebody bitched you out or bitched about it. So then you did it wool pad. Is that what it was?
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
The people asked. The people got.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So one of the things I see you do a lot is you'll post screenshots of text messages that you and your daughter have. And I've got to say, dude, I love those. Your daughter seems like she's very funny and sarcastic. And it reminds me a lot of my daughter, Haley, because I, you know, from the time Haley was two, you know, I dished it out to her even as a 2 year old because I wanted her to grow up being able to like recognize sarcasm or recognizing, you know, somebody who is being mean and not feel bullied to where she'd want to just come home and cry about it and whatnot. Sometimes that blows up, and now that they're older, they give it back to you. So first of all, that's awesome that you share those, because I have a blast with them. But how does she feel about you posting those? Does she know? Does she care?
She does exactly the same to me.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way street, because some of her stupid questions come off the back of my stupid questions.
Yeah.
But it's just a bit of fun. Like, if you can't have fun with your own family.
No, it definitely is. And it's funny too, because like I said, I mean, Haley will say something to me, like kind of the same thing, you know, stupid question off of a stupid question. And my wife just sits there, because I'll be speechless, you know, you got nothing to say. What am I going to, you know, my wife just looks at me and goes, that's your kid. She's you.
mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to stare at them and go, I made this. This is my doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk away.
I know.
No, it's good banter. We do work with one another, so it can
That's right,
be
yeah,
quite...
she works with you. That's right.
Yeah. She deals with all my sort of admin work, I suppose is the best way to describe it. But for her to deal with the admin work, she has to learn how to do my job as well.
Right.
Because if she gets thrown a question, she needs to know what anybody's talking about.
Right, exactly.
So she's been in the shop with me learning to do different things.
Nice, that's awesome.
And it's good to see females getting involved in the industry.
Right.
Because it is a very, very male-dominated industry.
Yep.
Much like anything in the motor trade. And it's good to see females taking an interest.
Oh, yeah. And there's some badass female detailers, too.
Yeah.
I mean some of them, whew. I mean, I've been lucky enough to talk to a few, you know, on here. We talked with Esme, Megan Baker. I had Jackie who's kind of starting out, Pam from Canada. And there's more that I want to get on here. You know, that's kind of my goal, is to always at least have, you know, in this 9-episode season, so to speak, of interviews, to always have, you know, as many women on as I can, just as men. So as I think it's, you know, they do killer work, and it's, you know, they need to be, I want to talk to them.
They do. And they see things from a different perspective, which is also good.
Right.
When I'm working with my daughter, I'll do something and she'll maybe go, I'm just going to show you how to do that quicker. And I'm like, right, okay. And she'll do it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You're right.
Right.
So it's good. Yeah. It should be an all-inclusive industry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You see too many people... Too many, I want to say older, traditionalist detailers.
Right. Yeah.
As probably better. Oh, no. What do you mean, a woman? And I'm like, they're doing a better job than you.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that happened when I was running, the car wash before I left and started my own. You know, we were starting to switch over from rotaries to DAs and kind of doing this, you know, I referred to it as new style, you know, detailing, because, you know, again, we were rotaries, you know, for as much as Chris Cormie and Bill Martin and everybody loves the term buff and wax, you know, was our deal. We did buff and waxes, you know, so we were trying to switch over to paint corrections. And there was a one of my detailers was a 40-something-year-old guy, you know, been doing it for half his life. And I pulled one of the part-time girls off the front line who did some detailing, you know, after school at the wash. And I put a DA in her hand and within like 5 minutes showed her how to, you know, up and down and back and forth, and let him do half a car, let her do half a car. And, you know, he got upset because here he was like 20 years experience and his half of the car didn't look any better than the 16-year-old girl that learned in 5 minutes how to do the car. So, you know, you're right when you say that, like the older people, the traditionals, the, you know, it's hard to get out of their mind that things can be different and done better and people can do it.
That's another reason that I brought her on board, is because I want to smash that.
Yeah.
Do you know? For an industry that is constantly changing, people need to learn to change.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuck in the ways.
Yeah.
Even though it evolves, well, like people say, it evolves like every 6 months, every 8 months, every year, it's evolving and becoming more than, but a lot of the detailers are definitely stuck in their ways, I think.
It's not a bad thing for them. They know what they want, but they just need to adapt it to what is in front of them.
Right. Right, exactly.
It's not change, it's adapting.
Right. Yeah. So this is my dinner guest party question. Mm-hmm. So who's somebody that you would love to sit down with for an hour and pick their brain, dead or alive, detailing, not detailing? Doesn't really matter.
That's a tough one.
I know. That's why it's a good question.
I have no idea because I don't like sitting talking to people at dinner. I prefer eating. I don't know. Sit down and probably... Is this... So it's, it doesn't have to be detailing related?
No, no. Dead or alive. Could be famous or not. Detailing or not.
Probably... Detailing wise, I would sit down with Rennie Doyle and find out how exactly he got to where he was.
Yeah.
He knows a lot of stuff. I've followed him for years.
Yeah.
Very clever man, but oh, yeah. Downplays it to the level that everybody can understand, not downplay it, makes it understandable.
Right.
Because he's not downplaying anything. He is making it digestible in small chunks of information.
Right.
Rather than information overload.
He's definitely one of those guys from the little bit that I've talked to him, because I've been fortunate enough to meet him a couple of times here at MTE. And then one time at SEMA. And he's definitely one of those guys at, you know, the top end of the mountain or the ladder or whatever, that's reaching back and pulling everybody else up with him as much as he can. Whereas yes. There's a lot of people who, you know, aren't doing that. They're kind of kicking down, you know, trying to keep everybody from getting to their level. So no, Rennie's a good guy. That's a good choice. We haven't had anybody pick Rennie Doyle yet. So that's a good one. What are some goals that you have for 2021?
Finish my project car.
Oh, what kind of completely. Car? What kind of car do you have?
Seat Leon, which is part of the Volkswagen group. You'll not have it in the States, I don't think.
No. I mean, I know what a Seat is. I just don't know what that one, the Leon, you said? I don't know what that one is.
It's on the same as the Golf.
Okay.
It's the same chassis.
Okay.
Well, the best way to describe it.
Same platform.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just a personal goal. Business goal, smash 2020.
So I think that's everybody's 2021 goal.
introduce a few new services. Focus a little bit more on training. There's so much, I'm just going to say it, bitchiness in the UK about the amount of people that are doing this job now.
Right.
There's 44 million cars on this little island's roads.
Yeah.
There's plenty of cars to go around.
Listen, it's not just in the UK. It's here too.
Is it?
Right. Yeah.
There's plenty to go around. And if I can help people on their journey, I'm going to do it.
Nice.
Doesn't matter if they're local. It doesn't matter if they're from further afield.
Right.
I'm here to help.
Right. That's awesome. What's a detailing pet peeve of yours? And it could be something that you've seen, or it could be something that somebody does, or it could be something that somebody says. Everybody's got jargon. One. What's yours?
Jargon.
What is it?
Jargon.
Jargon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It annoys me. When people are talking to a customer and they're going, right, we'll do a 3-step paint correction, a couple of wee bits of this, take a wheel pad. Customers don't need to know that. Customers want the finished article and a price.
Yep.
You've seen my Facebook posts. I try and use as little jargon as possible.
Like, right.
I'll maybe fire in enhancement or correction. But when people talk about, yeah, I'm going to level it, I'm going to blend it, and you're like, customers don't get that. Jargon is my pet peeve. Just put it in plain and simple English, please, people.
Right, right, exactly. So you mentioned correction and enhancement. So I'm gonna pull from Jason Bruno here. What is your definition of correction, and what is your definition of enhancement?
My definition of enhancement is anything that doesn't include wet sanding or dry sanding.
Okay.
But it could involve some wet sanding or dry sanding as well. Correction to me is fully leveling a car.
Okay.
With wet or dry sanding, and then doing a heavy cut and then a polish. Enhancement is spot correction with either, I'll use your terminology, a one-step or a two-step.
Right.
So probably simply, an enhancement is anything up to two steps. A correction is anything further than two steps.
Okay. See, Jason brought that question up, and so now I like hearing people's thoughts, because I think everybody has, and that's what I tried to tell Jason, like, you know, everybody's got a different definition, has their own definition for it. Because to me, an enhancement would be like a one step. It's going to be mm-hmm. something quick, easy. We're just enhancing the paint. We're not correcting it. And then for me, a correction would be a cut and polish. I don't care how many stages. I don't, you know, and that's the one thing. I don't do one stage, two stage, three stage. I do a panel. When the panel's done, I move on. If this mm-hmm. one, I can do it in one pass or whatever, and the next one takes me five passes. I'm correcting. I'm doing a cut. I'm doing a polish. I cut until it's cut. I polish when it's polished. Now for me, I don't get into dry sanding or wet sanding yet. I don't have that strength or that comfortability mm-hmm. to play with it. So that's just not part of my deal. So yeah, no, I mean, it's an interesting different take on enhancement and correction. Because I think
everybody's different. I generally only do enhancements.
Okay.
Or only make people aware that they're an enhancement. I did an Audi a few months ago, and I wet sanded half the car.
Uh-huh.
I still put that as an enhancement. I hadn't fully sanded the car, so my right. take on correction is, unless you're doing the whole car the same method,
right,
you're only enhancing it.
Okay.
I mean, you can have a car and it's had bits resprayed, it's had bits smart repaired, it's had new panels on it because there's been an accident or something.
Right.
The paint itself needs to be, the painter's job needs to be perfect before you can go into the territory of a correction.
Right, right. Now, in a correction, when you're talking about where you're doing the whole car, because this is something that somebody else brought up, David Benderman. I don't know if you know David. He's in some of the groups. And he brought up the question of, so if you tell somebody that you're doing a full correction, albeit whether your full correction is just, you know, polishing out the paint or compounding, you know, doing a cut and polish, or if mm-hmm. it's a full wet sand, do you consider it a full correction if you're not removing badges, if you're not removing door handles to get into the cups? Are you removing, you know, those types of panels? Because that was his thing. Like, for him, a full correction shouldn't be called a full correction unless you're removing badges, door handles, whatever else that can be removed to fully correct every area of the paint. I think he's a little out of his mind with it, But again, everybody has their own definition of it.
I believe I commented on that post. I did.
Did you? I don't think I read it.
Yeah.
Or if I did, I didn't see it, maybe.
I think basically what I said was, I will go as far as the customer budget will allow me to go in the time that I'm allocating to that job. If they want me to take the badges off, I'll take the badges off.
Right.
But if it's out with their budget, the badges need to stay on. I do this job so I can come home at a reasonable hour and see my kid. I don't live to work. I work to live. So unless people are paying me top dollar to take the car apart, then I'm not doing it. But if they want to pay me to take the car apart, I'll take it apart.
Listen. I love what you just said, because I've shouted it off this podcast for as long as I can. Is you're exactly right. It's go in, do the job, get back home, hang out with my wife and kid. I'm not one of these guys that's got to be at the shop, you know, 18 hours at a time, 24 hours at a time, you know, running on no sleep, just cranking cars. So I really like what you said there, because I think that is very important. I think a lot of people don't get it in this industry. And I think what you commented is perfect. If the budget doesn't allow it, then it's not getting done. I think that's might be the best answer I've heard.
But I'll be honest with the customer, client, whatever you want to call them, in front of me, like, if you want this done, it will cost you X amount.
Right.
At that point, they'll either say yes or no.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a budget.
Right.
I know people come in and go, money's not an option.
Right.
And then you give them a price.
Yeah.
And then they go, right, what about this, this, and this? And I'm like, right, so that'll be X amount extra. And then they go, right, just leave that. So at the end of the day, every detailer likes to show off their work. But the main person that they need to show their work off to
is the customer. Is
the owner of that car.
Yes, sir.
It's regardless of what anybody else in our industry thinks, the customer gets what they pay for.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And again, the customers they don't see things like we do, and they don't recognize things like we do. I mean, I've had this conversation with Tony and a couple other guys here locally. You know, they're like, you know, the customer said there's no scratches on the car, but it's like filled with swirls. Customers don't see that. To me, it's on every car out there. So customers just think like, hey, that's a normal thing. I bought it. It had those swirls on it. That's a normal thing. They just see shiny, clean and shiny, to me, is all customers see. As long as you make it clean and shiny, your customer is going to be happy. Now, of course, we do the work we do because that's who we are. And we like to show it off, and we like to kind of, you know, brag to our fellow detailers. But again, at the end of the day, that scratch that you're stressing over, customer's never going to see it, right?
And other detailers don't pay my wages.
Exactly. Exactly. What is one of your greatest achievements in detailing? What's something that's happened to you either because of detailing or that you know, did for detailing that's, you know, and we'll talk to Jason about get you some awards over there. I know you.
Paint assassins just ignore us over here. So I'll be having a word with Jason myself.
Yeah.
Greatest achievements. Nothing big. Being able to bounce ideas off of like-minded individuals from both sides of the Atlantic and elsewhere in the world. Like, we all deal with the same job. And if I'm able to help somebody 4,000 miles away across the Atlantic with a simple, this is how I done mine.
Right.
why don't you try it on yours and it works?
Yeah.
And that's an achievement in itself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm a glorified car cleaner at the end of the day.
Yep.
It's not rocket science what we do. Everything is methodical. It is a case of helping one another.
Right.
That's what we need to achieve on a daily basis. Not making millions and millions in our bank accounts.
Right.
Having a bit of common decency amongst each other is really an achievement in itself. We were talking about the bitchiness of the industry 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
If we could all just be a little bit kinder to each other and help each other out. Yes, I am super sarcastic, but like you've done it yourself. You've messaged me personally and I've gave you an honest answer.
Oh, yeah.
Just achieving day-to-day working
right
is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be big awards. Doesn't... The biggest achievement is coming home at a reasonable hour.
Yeah.
From the early days when you did the 18-hour, 20-hour days.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
An achievement is coming home on a Friday and going, right, where do you want to go for dinner?
Yeah.
That's an achievement in itself because when you first start detailing, you don't have any money.
Right. You're struggling.
Your brain's going at a million miles an hour.
Yep.
Where's the next job coming from? Just having a steady diary is an achievement as well.
Yeah.
Simple things.
Right,
simple
right.
thing.
No.
Nothing fancy. I'm very simple.
Yeah.
I like to be simple.
I'm the same way too. Doesn't take a lot to impress me. So I don't need to be that guy that's flashing money and trying to drive the next biggest, newest thing. Again, I'd rather just come home at a reasonable hour, hang out with the wife and the kid, be able to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this is the this or that portion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I'm just going to ask you a this or that. It's meant to be quick, rapid fire. Try not to think about it. Interiors or exteriors?
Exteriors.
Rupes or flex?
Flex.
Windows or washing and folding towels?
Windows.
Lock, stock, and two smoking barrels or snatch?
Oh, that's a hard one. snatch.
Sunshots or lighted shop shots?
Sunshots.
Do you guys get a lot of sun over there?
No, we don't, and that's why I love them so much.
mobile or shop?
Shop.
Left Twix or right Twix?
Mars bar.
Okay. Wax or ceramic?
Ceramic.
Vinnie Jones or the Staith?
Vinnie Jones.
Okay. And the most important question of all, Team Alex or Team Noxie?
Noxie.
It's fine. Okay, so I'll be looking for a new guest. Then we're gonna scrap this one. No, I'm joking. All right, Chris, that's all I've got, man. That's the 40 something minute mark. I think we're good. So where can anybody find you if they want to find you? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, OnlyFans.
All of the above except Snapchat.
Okay. And so where are they?
Not OnlyFans either.
No OnlyFans. Oh, damn.
No, that's coming in 2021.
Yeah. That's a 2021 goal. So where are they going to find you at though? Where are they looking? Facebook, Instagram?
If they use the @ Mint Detailing UK.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in all platforms, Twitter.
Okay.
Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Okay. Damn it. You know what? I realize I forgot a question. All right, so hang on. We're gonna go back. This bonus question.
Okay.
Because I skipped past this one. Do you feel there's a difference in detailing between the U.S. and the U.K.? I mean, everybody kind of thinks that it's, you know, detailing's detailing.
There is. There definitely is. Stateside Canada are behind on certain things with regards to us. But vice versa, we're behind with certain things. We're not all working from the same sort of... How can I put this? It's the same, but it's different.
Okay.
I mean, like, brands like Koch Kemi are just new to the States. We've been using them for years. But then 3D, for example, US brand, is fairly new over here. We've not got the same access to products each side of the Atlantic.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we're not doing the same job. It just means that we're maybe not seeing European technology in the States as much.
Right.
But by the same token, we're not seeing American systems and technology this side. But slowly but surely, there is people bridging that gap.
Right.
And
it's funny that you mentioned Koch Kemi because, I mean, it has kind of seemed to all of a sudden blow up here in the States, like recently, like past couple of months. But what's funny is the first time I saw it was probably a year ago through Autoality. Autoality was carrying it. Because that was the first time I saw it, and I had asked somebody about it, and they said, I don't know anything about it. And I was like, maybe I'll get it next time I order some stuff, and then forgot about it, never did. And then all of a sudden, it's like everybody's, you know, talking about it now. So I don't know if it was one of those things where maybe, I forget who does Autoality. I don't know if maybe he just got on the bandwagon early or whatnot. But yeah. And then it's funny that you kind of say that too, because when I talked with Pam, so Pam Schwartz, I think you know Pam.
Yeah.
You know, she's in Canada, and she was telling, when I asked her if the difference, she was telling me that Canada's like a year or two behind whatever happens here in the States, which I kind of found odd because we're so close.
Yeah, physically attached.
exactly.
Koch has been here for as long as I can remember.
Oh, wow.
A long time. But a lot of people don't know about, for example, 3D over here.
Yeah.
Whereas because I deal with an American company and deal with a lot of American people, I have access to these American brands.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, over here, the American system seems to be, you've got a compound polish.
Right.
Whereas the European model follows compound medium cut, then a polish.
Okay.
So there's a difference in itself. But it's not a bad difference. It's just you work differently from us.
Right.
Americans are much more step by step, get it done.
Yeah.
Europeans are much more, right, we'll take it slowly. We'll be gradual.
Right.
And I think that's a culture thing.
And it could be, because I know a lot of guys over here that, you know, and I've been known to do it too if I can get away with it, but, you know, it's like, hey, let me see if I can just one-step this car and kind of call it a day, you know, or all-in-one, whatever, and call it a day. I try not to. I feel that if somebody is paying me $1,500 plus for a ceramic coating, I am going to do a cut and a polish, and sometimes if I have to do it like what you said, because there's sometimes I've done some cars where I've had to cut it real heavy, and then you almost kind of have to cut that down before you can polish it, because otherwise you still end up with that haze, even though the client might not ever see it, there's still going to be a haze or whatever. So I feel that if somebody's paying me that money, I'm going to do it the right way. But I know plenty of people who people are paying them $1,500 plus, and they're just going to one step it, slap a coating on it, call it a day kind of thing.
That's not even a cultural thing. That's just
lazy.
Lazy. Yeah. It is just lazy. If somebody's paying me a certain figure, I know how many hours I'm going to put into that. And if that means I need to do three or four different cuts,
right?
Then that's the benefit of doing a test section with a customer present, going, right, this is what we actually need to do.
Yeah.
And this is how much it'll cost you.
Right.
And at that point, you've already done a section of their car, so they're going to want to get the rest of it done.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're not going to want to drive around with that one shiny spot. Okay, so back again. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you said is at Mint Detailing?
UK.
UK, okay.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to reach out to you, that's where they're going to do it. So.
Yes. Anytime they fancy it, absolutely. They just need to see through my sarcastic humor.
Yeah. All right. So before we go, you know what I'm going to ask you. So just go ahead and say it.
What? I'm not saying that word.
Come on, man.
I promise not to drop the C-bomb tonight.
All right. I tried, everybody. I tried to get Chris to do it.
I know, but I'm not going to let you
give us some other fancy language over there if you don't want to drop the...
I did drop it. You just didn't hear me.
Oh, damn it. I was talking. Shit.
Yep.
I'm going to have to go back. All right. Well, give us something else. Say something in your natural, like, I don't know. Say something that everybody's going to be like, what the fuck just happened here?
Oh, I should just call you a weapon.
What's that?
A weapon.
Oh, a weapon?
Yeah. No, I speak, my English is my first language.
No, I know. You told me that. But, dude, I read your Facebooks, and I'm like, did he have a seizure typing on the keyboard? I'll just...
No, I've tried not to swear the whole duration of this, but...
Well, look, you don't have to. I mean, you can give us an oi, you can give us a... you can give us a whatever. It doesn't have to be curse word. Well,
thanks very much for having me on. You're ball bag. You know what that means?
We'll end it there. All right, Chris, I appreciate you doing this, man. I know we had a couple of scheduling issues, but you were definitely somebody I really wanted to talk to, especially this season. So to kind of round it out and finish it off with you, I think that's better. So
thanks very much for having me on, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday.
I do. I'll get it. It'll go up tomorrow, so everybody can be able to listen to it tomorrow, although you'll be sound asleep because I release it 6 p.m. our time. So
I'll still be awake at 11 p.m.
You might still be up. You're kind of a late-up guy, kind of whatever. But, yeah, I'll shoot you the link and everything. So, all right. Any last words? No? Good? Yeah.
Just let's everybody just work together.
Thank you. Please. And
get through the next year like we have done this year. That's all we need to do.
I'll do it. I'll take it. Those are great words. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later, man. You have a good rest of your evening.
You too. Right.
All right, thanks, man. Too, okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to all these episodes. Chris Kennedy was the last interview for season two. I might need to take a 1 week break. The season two finale episode is going to be on health and wellness. This is something that I think everybody that not only listens to our podcast needs to listen to, but needs to get everybody else who isn't listening to our podcast to listen to. I'm going to try and cover some subjects that are pretty important to our industry, both mobile guys and shop guys. So far, I have Levi Gates is going to be on talking about the ways that we need to better ourselves for the things that we use to help our bodies last longer. If nobody's listened to Levi's podcast, he's gone into depth a bunch of times about how his shoulders are jacked up, his wrists from polishing for so many years, his hands, it's hard for him to squeeze a bottle, bottle triggers. So everything that he does, he looks for things that are ergonomically more comfortable. I think that's things that a lot of us take for granted. We don't think about long term. We're also going to have Walt Sanders back on again. I think the issue that Walt had with destroying his body with energy drinks is something that a lot of detailers out there do. So we're going to talk about that. And then also Brian Guy. For those of you who don't know, Brian had some skin cancer issues from detailing out in the sun and things like that. So Brian's going to talk to us about ways to protect your skin, whether you're outside doing mobile stuff or even in a shop. A lot of us in the shops are still kind of get sunlight at certain points and things like that. So that's going to be the next one. Trying to get all three of those guys lined up, though, is not an easy thing to do. So I think after the first of the year, everybody is pretty open and we will talk to them then. So we might have a 1 week break just for that. Or it might not even be a 1 week break. We might just push it a couple of days. So we'll see. But I hope you guys have had as much fun listening to these as I have. Season three will start shortly after we finish up the last episode with those guys. And not sure exactly who I'm going to talk to yet. So I'm going to start putting a list together and we'll get that rocking and rolling and go from there. If you guys have some thoughts on who you would like to hear from, please shoot me a message or go to the anchor.fm page. And there's a spot there where you can leave us messages. Us, me, whatever. Also, we're going to keep doing the What's on Your Mind with Bruno. Those have been getting some pretty good traction. So we're going to keep doing those. But again, those are going to kind of be bonus episodes. So they'll be every other week or whenever me and Bruno can get together and find a guest to talk to. Bruno's having a lot of fun with it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And it's just something different. So you guys, again, I can't state it enough. I appreciate taking your time out of your days and listening to us or listening to me. And I thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.